Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're just looking on them. ESPNBoston.com, they just posted a link as to the science behind Rob Gronkowski's 49-yard catch, run, rumble last week against Washington.
Pretty cool stuff.
That is very cool stuff how they did that. That guy, John Brinkus, who does the sports science bits for, news bits for ESPN, pretty good on this. Basically likening it to a freight train, trying to tackle a freight train. Pretty good, huh? Wow. Just shedding blockers, shedding tacklers left and right, outrunning guys, outstepping guys, and rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, as Chris Berman might say, right? Pretty amazing. All right,
I think that would have made it better as if he scored.
Yeah, no kidding. But impressive enough, nevertheless. John Rook in with Eric Scalavino from PFW as we welcome you to a Thursday edition of the Playbook. You know how to get a hold of us, so start. Web radio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Up on Facebook, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request if you haven't done it. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at jrook0722. Russell Baxter, our pro football guru from profootballguru.com, will be with us in hour number two, as he normally is on Thursday, to run through the week in the NFL and some, playoff implication things to talk about with him a little bit later on. But today, no lie, I really kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit today because this has been a topic of conversation throughout the course of the week with, the whole, Tim Tebow issue over his religious expressions, what have you. So whether or not you want to, take this as a serious moment or you want to take it in jest, just to have a little fun with it or what have you, but I'm sure he would appreciate it, and I'm sure all Broncos fans would appreciate it. Do you have a little prayer offering you'd like to offer Tim Tebow in advance of the game on Sunday? If you have a little offering that you would like to send Mr. Tebow's way, by all means, email us, webradio@patriots.com. I would wonder what, his initial impression will be when Vince Wilfork gets ready to flatten him like a pancake for the first time on Sunday. You think he'll be thanking his Lord and Maker?
I think you better be praying for the Patriots, John.
Ooh, Eric.
Yeah.
Stepping out. You really think that the Broncos are going to win this game?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Based on, again, I know you just recapped.
Sure. No, I can do it. I'll do it again if you want.
Yeah, but based on.
Based on the fact that the Patriots never play well in Denver.
You and I discussed this yesterday.
Is point number one.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the fact that the Patriots have played terribly at the end of games this year and have been lucky to escape with victories over bad teams,
right.
John. Not talking about Super Bowl champion caliber teams. Bad teams they've escaped at the end. And the Broncos are at their best at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
Tebow's on the hot streak here. I can't go against it.
Well, so you kind of think that maybe the luck runs out then a little bit,
yeah,
is what you're saying, right?
Okay. The only way I could see anything else happening is if the Patriots finally put together a complete 60-minute game and play consistent offense quarters 1-4, and if the defense holds at the very end, which they haven't always been able to do.
I'll tell you what concerns me the most about this game. Fact is that at some point in time, Tim Tebow will learn how to become a more consistent passer, quarterback, mm-hmm, for the first three quarters of the game.
Yeah.
And I could not think of really a better defense for him to improve upon than the one that the Patriots will put out there on Sunday.
And yet you seem to be leaning towards picking the Patriots.
Yeah, I am right now. I'd have to say that I just don't see Denver putting up enough points to win. Kind of what you said last week against Washington, and they damn near did it. But I just, you know, I think Denver's even more, you know, offensively challenged. And if they do struggle at all, let's say that Tebow gets it together for two or three quarters rather than four, when last week it was just one quarter and it was good enough to beat Chicago. Let's say he gets it together for three quarters. Is it enough to beat the Patriots? See, I don't think so. I think he has to have it together all four quarters, and I think we have to see that consistent game from him, you know, for the Broncos to win the game. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't win it. They certainly can. If Brady throws three picks or we get a couple of fumbles involved there, or, you know, you turn the ball over deep in your own end of the field, you know, on a kicking game mistake or what have you, then absolutely you can lose this game. Patriots, though, have not necessarily beaten themselves except for a couple of times this year. So I would say, based on, again, the track record, it doesn't appear that Denver can win the game. I'll probably aim more toward, I hedged my bet last week, and I picked the spread right against Washington last week. I say the Patriots win it, but it'll be a struggle again, because I think that just happens to be.
It's going to be a struggle every week.
Exactly. That just happens to be who this team is. They're not going to kick anybody's butt as much as anybody would like to see it. It's just not going to happen. The question is, I don't know how many points. I'm going to say that the Broncos will be the benefactor of at least one, maybe two turnovers. And given the fact that the Patriots have not traditionally played well in Denver. All right, you're going to get me early on this, Eric. I'm going to say 30 to 22. One possession.
Okay. 8-point win.
Yeah, an 8-point win. 30 to 22. Broncos will have an opportunity to take it down the field and try to score and tie up the game and maybe send it into overtime. And I think similar to last week, I think that the Patriots defense will make a stop, similar to last week. And I think we've seen that this Patriots defense can, at times, rise up and make challenges. Not often enough for anybody's liking, of course, but I think we've seen they can do it. Did they get lucky last week? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to be lucky. You know, they stepped up, they made a play. When you knew and everybody else knew that, you know, Washington was going to go for two if they had scored.
Yeah, Bill even kind of said they were preparing for that.
And Bill's right. I could see Mike Shanahan doing that. Why not?
He's done it before.
They have nothing else to lose.
And he's done it before.
Yeah, nothing to lose. They're 4-8. What do you have to lose? You're not going to the playoffs. Win it now.
Question for you.
Shoot.
In this streak that Tebow is on, do you remember the team he lost to?
No, not right off the top of my head. I'm sure I could look it up. Who did he lose to?
Well, that's I think, getting lost in all of this. Just this whole streak thing.
Who the hell did he lose to?
Got blown out at home by the Lions, 45-10.
Oh, that's right. And, yeah, it wasn't close. Right.
So there's that, if you want to hang your hat on that for the Patriots.
Patriots can put up 45. Yeah.
Patriots can put up 45. This is no slouch of a defense, though, that they're going against. Doomerville, Miller, Bailey. If he's healthy, Dawkins, which at this point a little questionable. They're not a terrible defense. So, to think that they just assume that they can put up what they normally are used to putting up, I don't think it's a guarantee.
Well, no, I don't think it is.
Last time they played in Denver, you know how many points they put up? 2 years ago?
17. 17 Shemoleons. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right. Yep, 2 years ago.
The game went into overtime. Virtually the same players.
Well, I was about to say, was it as good an offense as what we've seen this year overall? I mean, in 09?
Kyle Orton had a pretty good day that day, mm-hmm. if I recall.
He did.
Brandon Marshall had a pretty good day that day, if I recall.
He did. Okay, so you're trying to convince me. You're trying to sway me, pull me over to the dark side.
I'm just throwing facts out there as the objective journalist that I've always been.
Okay, fair enough. Agree or disagree with Eric and or myself in terms of the prediction of the score for Sunday? You can also send us your thoughts. webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook or Twitter.
I predict a lot of people will disagree with me, John.
Probably. But I can see why you would make I can see why you could make the scenario that you do. I certainly don't think it's implausible. I think it's very possible.
The one saving grace too with the schedule this week.
Yeah.
As you know, the Patriots are fighting for that the one and or the two seed mm-hmm. in the playoffs. I think their competition could all lose as well this week. And the Steelers will lose in San Francisco. Mm. And I think the Ravens could lose in San Diego. I don't think they will, but they could. So even if New England loses,
I could see
that everybody stays even.
Well, that's why this is such a huge game, and that's why I think ultimately the Patriots will find a way to pull it out, because the Patriots have, you know, done a pretty good job in the past with their quote unquote backs to the wall, and I think they feel like this is their opportunity. This is, you know, if they take a look at it, and I'm sure somebody in that locker room looks at the bigger picture. Not everybody, but somebody does, and probably has figured out, you know, hey, we can really we can take charge here. We absolutely can take charge here of the mm-hmm. entire AFC with a win, because the opportunity is there for the closest competition to stumble this week. That's why this is such a big week. It's a big week for the Patriots, big week to make a statement. This is a statement week. You can do it against a playoff team that's, you know, going to be in the postseason in Denver for whatever reason. Call it luck, call it divine intervention, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, the Broncos are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to win that division, it looks like.
Probably.
Unless they fall flat, probably. they're going to win this division. So this is your chance now to make a statement against a playoff and or a playoff caliber opponent, which a lot of us bemoaned that, you know, geez, in the stretch run, the Patriots really, they don't have this. They're playing all these wash-ups. They're playing all these has-beens. They're playing Buffalo. They're playing Miami. They're playing Denver. Okay. Well, now Denver's turned itself into a playoff team. So now here's your chance. You want to take care of the doubting Thomases? Now is the chance to do it. This is the game. You're on the road against a playoff team, a team that it certainly seems to have God on its side in the form and fashion of Tim Tebow. So, you know, how many more ways can you stack the deck against you than this week? And traditionally, the Patriots do perform well when the deck, so to speak, is stacked against them. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Grudgingly.
More often than not.
Grudgingly,
yeah.
You're going to give me that.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Okay. Well, that's all I'm saying. And that's why I'm going to give them, frankly, Eric, before the week started, I felt worse about this game than I did last week against Washington. And I'm trying to figure out why.
And you had a bad feeling about Washington.
I had a bad feeling about Washington. And I called it. I said 7, and Washington's going to have a chance to win it. And they darn sure did.
Yeah.
So, and I felt worse about this week at the start of the week. And I'm still trying to get my thoughts completely wrapped around why I feel like that. And I think part of it is because I'm disappointed. I think that the Patriots have largely underachieved, certainly on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm.
Grossly.
Yeah. Higher expectations for this defense.
Grossly underachieved.
After what they the moves they made
no
in
question.
That flurry at the beginning of training camp.
No question. No question. And I think that's, you know, that's the fan in me coming out. I'm trying to look at this as a somewhat objective journalist as well, as you do. And in my objectivity,
only
that's
somewhat?
Why I, well, you know, I mean, let's face it. We do, you know, I root for the story. And, you know, I realize, you know, as a talk show host and as a writer and, you know, as a broadcaster, journalist, what have you, I think in our best interest, it's best to root. If you're going to root, you're going to root for the story. And I know a lot of journalists say, root? No, I don't root for anything. Yeah, you do. That's a lie. It's not. It's not entirely mm-hmm. accurate. You root for the good story.
Mm-hmm.
You root for the opportunity to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots have provided us that. The Broncos have provided us that. So this ought to be a good storytelling week.
Oh, yeah. If
right?
you can't tell a story this week,
then you're,
you
can't,
not,
then yeah. you're not capable.
No.
You're absolutely not capable. There's so many angles. There's so many different stories you can talk about. There's so many different facets to all of this. It's fascinating, really. Which makes this is made for a kind of an interesting week. And, you know, I hope that fans realize that. But I will say that overall, I'm going to take the Patriots here because they should win. They should. Doesn't mean they will. They should. I think Denver will figure out a way against a softer than we'd like Patriot defense to score a couple of scores. They'll probably get one cheaply, either with a turnover or a kicking game mistake. And the Patriots are probably going to have to, you know, they're going to have to definitely score 30 to stay ahead of them. And I think the Broncos will probably have a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, and Tebow's going to crank it up, and we're all going to be sitting on the edge of our chairs, and some of us will be biting our fingernails, and others of us will be biting other things.
What?
Some of us will be pulling our hair out. Oh, I'm sorry, Eric, you can't do that. So, I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
Cheap shot artist.
No, not really. Could have taken a worse shot than that, but I'm going to use some restraint here. Why not? It's what the TV network's praying for. Speaking of prayers.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what they're praying for.
Of course, they want an overtime game.
Oh, yeah. Well, overtime, they just want something that's going to go right down
high
the wire.
High-scoring overtime game.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what they want.
They'd love to see 34-31. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know that the Broncos are offensively capable of doing that. I mean, here's a Bronco team that leads the NFL in rushing yardage. They lead the NFL in rushing attempts per passing attempt. I mean, this team is the 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. If there ever was one in the NFL, this team is it. And a lot of that is because it's...
For 55 minutes.
Yeah. It's a necessary thing because Tebow can't throw it. Now, is he all of a sudden going to figure out a way to start connecting at a higher percentage just because it's the Patriots? I'll allow that he could. I'll even allow that he could. But then can he take those higher percentages? Can he take some of those earlier completions? Can he do better than 3 out of 15 throwing the football in the first three quarters? And can he take that and turn that into points? To me, that's the question. And if the Patriots show multiple looks defensively, and I really believe this is what they're going to do. I think they're going to throw him so many looks, he's not going to know what the hell hit him. Oh, I said hell, sorry. H-E double hockey sticks. He's not going to know what hit him. And so because of that, I think there will be a certain amount of confusion. I think there will be a certain amount of hesitation. I think there will be a certain need for him at times to just take off running with the football. And I think that the Patriots also will do one of two things defensively. They will either utilize a straight 4-3 look in order to try to keep him hemmed in the pocket. They don't want him out of the pocket. Are we in agreement on that
yeah.
one? They don't want the guy out of the pocket.
No.
Because that's where he makes plays.
He's a dangerous runner.
He's a way better runner than
and
a guy like Roethlisberger. And Roethlisberger, as we know, is very dangerous out of the pocket. But, you know, here's a guy that can really, you know, do damage with his feet mm-hmm. because he's such a physical presence. So you're going to try to keep him hemmed in. So I tend to favor a 4-3 look. A straight 4-3, but I also tend to favor a shadow, a spy, somebody that's going to say, all right, your guy is 15, don't let him loose. It's your man, whether that's a
Dane Fletcher.
A Fletcher or a Ninkovich or somebody is going to say, my guy is 15.
I like my chances better with Fletcher because I've seen Ninkovich in space sometimes and he gets flat-footed.
Okay.
So I
and
would,
you don't want that?
No, I'd much rather see Fletcher out there, who I think is a little more athletic.
Okay. That's fair. But I do believe that that's going to be talked about. And I think they'll throw that look at him. And I think they'll throw some zone looks at him. I think they'll throw some 3-4 at him. I think they'll throw some nickel packages at him. I think they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him. And I think that may very well be the Patriots saving grace by trying to show versatility, such as it may be bad versatility, but it's still versatility, nevertheless, against a quarterback that probably hasn't seen a lot of it. Teams are gearing up to try to stop their quote-unquote option/wildcat game. So what are they going to show him defensively? He knows what's coming. Does that make sense to anybody? If you're going to gear up to stop the Broncos' ground game, what are you going to show him? You're going to show him something very predictable. Mm. So let's be unpredictable. Let's line up with, you know, 8 in a box. And then let's line up with 2 down linemen. And then let's line up with a nickel. And then let's line up with a dime. And then let's line up in a 4-3. And then let's line up with a shadow and a spot. You know, I mean, let's throw, you know, a different defense at him almost every down, every snap of the ball, or certainly every series of downs. And when you do that, you're going to cause him to just hesitate just so slightly because he's not sure what he's throwing into in terms of coverage. You want to show him a little, you know,
mm-hmm.
let's throw in a little Tampa 2. Let's throw in a little zone. Let's do this a little bit. Let's try some different looks here. Maybe we can actually help ourselves. We're not good at this, but let's see if we can get by with it because we also know that the opposing quarterback is learning, is developing. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do.
And I think that could end up being the Patriots' saving grace on Sunday. Thoughts?
Assuming of course, that the players on the defense who are being asked to do this are capable.
Yeah, right.
And I don't assume.
I don't assume. Well, okay, but I think they're capable of carrying it out. I just don't know if they're capable of actual getting, you know, satisfaction with the execution. I think there's a difference.
Well, I think that's what I mean. They know what to do.
They know what to do.
Right.
But
can they do it physically?
Can they do it well enough?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. And that's the difference. I think they know what to do.
No,
so
you're
still going to line up in a base defense.
Sure.
And because you're lining up in a base defense, you're creating a picture for Tim Tebow to look at. Now, whether or not as the play unfolds, they can continue to keep that base defense in play or they change the look, or Tim Tebow figures out how to crack that defense, well, that's what we don't know. And it will be incumbent upon the Patriots' defensive players to stay the course.
Right.
And to...
And I don't...
And that's the X factor.
Yeah,
we don't know right now.
I don't know if they can.
Yeah, that's right. That's fair. And I will allow for that. But I'm going to tell you that I think, given the choice between asking Tebow, who hasn't yet, you know, done very well in the opening three quarters of a game, for the most part...
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Patriots' defense, which is certainly bent a lot, broken a couple of times, but the team is 10-3. I'm going to say right now, I'm going to favor the Patriots' defense. Silly as that may sound.
All right.
I'm giving them a slight edge over Mr. Tebow. If I had a prayer for Mr. Tebow, I would pray for him to, you know, obviously come out and give it his all. And make sure you leave us three turnovers on the ground or on the in the air. That's what I would pray for.
And he doesn't turn the ball over very much, so
no,
you're going to have to pray for that.
Well, that's why I'm asking right now. I'm saying, you know, I would pray that Tim Tebow figure out a way that, you know, maybe this indecision, he's going to throw into some coverage that he shouldn't have thrown into. And Kyle Arrington gets his eighth and or ninth picks of the year. How's that for a bold prediction?
Nine picks.
Yep.
Yeah, total.
Yep. He gets at least one this weekend.
I could see that, sure.
Okay. Believable? Plausible?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to be so bold? Anybody else want to step up with a prediction? Anybody else want to offer a little prayer for Mr. Tebow? I pray that Vince Wilfork does not crush you.
Take it too lightly.
Take it for what it's worth.
Take it too lightly.
I'm just trying to have a little fun here. Come on, brother. Help me out.
My prayer is for the Patriots.
Okay. Fair enough.
That they're able to do something that they rarely do, which is play well in Denver.
Daryl says, John, looking forward to a good show today. Funny thing, in the past, I've only ever listened religiously to PFW. Needless to say,
see what he did there?
I know. That's very good. Very good, Daryl. He's picking up with the thought process of the week here.
Yeah.
He says, though, needless to say, I have since recanted. The playbook is where I tune my Patriots home dial. Thank you for cutting through the endless BS and giving us fans what we really need to hear. See, there you go, Aaron. That's kudos to you, too.
Thanks. Yeah. I hope he appreciates the objectivity.
I do have a hypothetical question for you. Do you expect to see a greater emphasis on the 3-4 rather than the 4-3 this weekend, or will we still find ourselves in sub-defenses more often than not? For some reason, the read and react of his hoodedness, holy 3-4, to cover one with Mayo acting as the QB spy just seems, well, right to me. Am I off my rocker?
No.
Funny how we were just kind of sort of leading to that.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's... unreasonable.
Nope. I definitely think you'll see some 3-4. I definitely think you'll see some spying.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind.
I think you'll see a lot of different things.
I think he's dead on about it.
You know, the starting lineup won't necessarily be intact after two or three plays.
Right.
You know.
You're going to see some real... Whoever's available is going to get in there.
Yep. A lot of substitutions.
A lot of subs. A lot of different personnel. A lot of whatever it takes for...
And I would also
Tim Tebow and the Denver offense to stop and think.
And I'd also say on the other side of the ball, I would expect more hurry up, no huddle from the Patriots offense.
But I'm not going to say so much as, you know.
Because that crowd is a huge factor.
Right. But I'm not going to say it's going to be so much as to, you know, speed down the field. I think you could see them control the tempo and do some dinking and dunking here. Because that's going to make it more difficult for Denver to ground the football out, which is what they want to do. So I could see them trying to make the Broncos more one-dimensional by having to throw the ball, by taking time of possession away from Denver, and also scoring. In other words, we're looking at, you know, 10, 11, 12 play, you know, 75, 80-yard drives that cover 5.5 minutes. That's what I'm thinking. And you can do that, no
you
huddle.
You can do that. I was going to say, you can do that, no huddle. Just have to let the clock run down.
Because
play clock run down.
Yeah, you want the Denver defense unable to sub best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be at the line of scrimmage ready to snap the ball. You want to be calling your play at the line of scrimmage. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if they had the first, like, 20 plays offensively scripted for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the no-huddle come right out of the gate. Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
I'd like to see that, actually.
Yeah, I think it would be a great way to get the crowd out of the game. And you score on your opening drive.
You need to get that crowd out of the game.
Score on your opening drive, and you put Tebow and company right behind the eight ball from the get-go. I think that's a perfect scenario.
Have you ever been to a game in Denver?
I have. It was years ago,
so,
but yeah.
You've
I
experienced
it. It was the old Mile High that
yeah,
I went
oh,
to.
Well, yeah. That was a better place to see the game if you're
the
a fan.
The stadium shook.
The stadium shook, right, just like in RFK mm-hmm. in Washington that mm-hmm. used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But so you've experienced the incomplete chant mm-hmm. by right. the Broncos
Actually,
faithful, haven't you?
No, they have not. That only came.
Oh, was that, really?
That was, this was pre, you know, stealing our chance here. This was before. This was before. Although they were one
so
of the
first.
So this
was back in
that.
the '60s when the Patriots were always winning
nice,
over there, right?
Nice, back in the '60s. Good call. Good call. Feeling a little vulnerable with my age today anyway. And okay. Yeah, I had that coming. I gave you the hair, you know.
Why
comment.
Are you feeling vulnerable with the age?
I don't know. Today? I just do. I don't know why. I'm just feeling my age a little bit today. That's all.
But that chant that they do,
yeah.
And you can it's audible over the TV broadcast. Whenever an opposing quarterback misses on a pass, the PA guy, your mm-hmm. counterpart there mm-hmm. at Mile High,
right.
says Brady's pass intended for Welker was, and the crowd
incomplete. Right,
77,000, however
Saying
many
incomplete.
People all doing it,
and they do it way better than we say first down.
And they do it louder, and they do it with as much enthusiasm in the fourth quarter as they do in the first quarter. Right. They don't let up. This is one of the toughest road crowds in the NFL.
I agree. It's a good road crowd.
And if Brady is having a bad day, hooking up with his receivers, it's going to get worse when he hears that. Now, if he can go, you know, 22 for 25, it's going to be a long day for Denver. But if he starts off early with that, ugh, boy, big advantage for the Broncos having that home field.
Daryl also says here on Facebook, he says, the local Denver sports news sources are reporting that the Broncos are showing signs of a more fast-paced offense in practice. Will that give Tebow the momentum he needs to the first three quarters? Could our D handle an offense like that?
They haven't proven it to me.
No. Frankly, if Denver goes hurry up, I'm that might be a wrinkle that the Patriots aren't exactly expecting. What do you think?
I don't think they would expect it from Tebow. You know, in spite of what Bill said about how, you know, great a thrower he is, I don't think they'd be expecting him to do that. I think they would expect more of a good mixture of passing and running early on, since running is his strength, and the Broncos do want to get him to throw more and more efficiently.
Right.
But they're still going to be the running threat is still going to be there, for Denver's offense.
Our boy Kevin, since this was tweeted by Jeremy Lundblad of ESPN, and this is really interesting. I had not seen this. Brady's first 11 starts as a quarterback, okay,
in 01,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
He was 8-3,
yep,
averaged 207 yards per game passing and rushing with 16 touchdowns.
Passing it, you mean total?
Total.
So offensive production.
Offensive production.
Yeah.
Okay.
207 yards.
Yes. Tebow's first 11 starts.
Mm-hmm.
8-3.
8-3.
Same record.
Yeah.
231 yards per game.
Uh-huh.
19 touchdowns.
And this is combined passing and rushing yards.
Yeah. Slightly better numbers than Tom Brady's in his first 11 starts, but the exact same 8-3 record.
Hmm.
How about that?
Hmm. Little breaking news here from the Broncos. Our friend Lindsey Jones, who we talked to yesterday, says that Brian Dawkins and Andre Goodman returned to practice today. Both of them were DNPs yesterday.
Okay. So they're a step closer to being somewhat healthy.
at an area where they could really
where they
need
could
it.
Use that.
Yeah.
They could definitely use it against the Patriots receivers. All right, let's take a timeout here, and then when we come back, we'll get the practice report, the update from Eric today. And again, your emails, your predictions on the game Sunday in Denver, and if you have a little prayer offering for Tim Tebow, love to hear it. I'm sure he'd love to hear it too, right here in the playbook.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Welcome back inside the Playbook for a Thursday. John Roque with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Climb aboard. We're talking Patriots. We're talking Broncos. It's Brady against Tebow. Actually, got this message from Facebook just a couple of moments ago, and Chad says, have you seen the Tebow Brady Who Would You Choose headline on ESPN.com? And he says, I LOL'd. So we went and hit the link.
Yep.
And it's actually a nice, it's actually a well-researched.
Tale of the tape type of thing.
Yeah, a well-researched piece by the one and only Rick Riley on ESPN, on ESPN.com. And there are actually some good points in this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's some good points in it. While Tom has an overall quarterback rating of 106 and Tim 83.9, in the fourth quarter, Tom's quarterback rating is 91, while Tebow's is 99.6.
I hate the quarterback rating.
I don't disagree, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm just saying. Tom has won 77% of his games as a starter. Tim has won 73%. Not bad. Okay, that's another one. I thought this was interesting. Tom has lost games this season scoring 31, 20, and 17. Tim has won games this year scoring 18, 17, 17, 16, and 13. I don't know if that speaks to his ineptitude as a quarterback or the fact that he's actually got a defense that, you know, says, I got your back.
Yeah.
You know?
A little bit of both.
Tom is in his 12th season. Tim is in his second. Tom finished his second season with a passer rating of 86.5. Tim's passer rating in his second season is about the same, 83.9. I just gave you the Jeremy Lundblad stats,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're equal through the first 11 starts for the most part. In fact, Tebow actually has very slightly higher overall numbers in terms of average yards and touchdowns through his first 11 starts as a pro. Let's see what else we had here. Tom has 24 fourth-quarter comeback victories in his 11 years as a starter. Tim has 6 in basically 1 year as a starter. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive, right? Let's see. Here's another one. Tom has made 17 Sports Illustrated covers. Tim has 8, which is one more than Drew Brees.
Wow. That's including at Florida.
Yes, including at Florida, right. But still.
Yep. Tebow also makes more money than Aaron Rodgers, which I find hilarious.
Oh, this year he will, yeah.
Yeah, this year, right. this is a good one. Tom is the namesake of the NFL's Brady Rule, which prohibits hitting quarterbacks below the knees. Tim is the namesake behind the NCAA's Tebow Rule regarding athletes wearing messages on their eye black. Remember that phenomenon?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they said you can't do that
can't
anymore.
Do it.
It's because Tebow was putting the Bible messages, the Bible verses on his eye black.
Right.
That I had not recalled that.
That's
actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I know.
Forgot about that.
All right, so here we go.
And Tebow doesn't wear the eye black in the NFL.
No, he does not. Tom is 1-5 as a starter against Tim's team. Tim has never played Tom's team. I don't know if that's significant or not, but I thought I'd point that out.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. Bradying is not acknowledged as an English word, according to the Global Language Monitor, but Tebowing is.
It's just a fun fact.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. So that's what we're full of today. We're full of fun facts. Thanks to Rick Riley from ESPN.com for shouting out a few of those. But if you want to read it, go and read the story yourself. It's actually a pretty good job of research there. And I don't know. I mean, you know, most Patriots fans are obviously going to say
it's
the obvious.
It's a fun read.
You know, sure. If you know, are you really? I mean, it looks like it from the from the vantage point of when you open up ESPN.com and they've got a shot there of Tim Tebow versus Tom Brady and like, which would you choose? And you're like, really? Really? You're asking us to choose between these two guys?
I don't, and he's not necessarily saying, you know, for the future. He's saying for this weekend.
For this weekend.
Yeah.
Frankly, I can understand why a Bronco fan or an anti-Patriot fan would choose Tebow. I can. I can understand it. We've talked about it all week long. He's got that it factor going, and for whatever it's worth, you know, combine that with the fact that he's getting a little bit better, that he's learning a little bit more, that his teammates believe in him, that, you know, the Broncos realize they can this is a statement game for them, just like as I talked a little while ago, this is definitely a statement
game
for the Patriots.
Every game is for them, almost.
Sure it is. It's probably been a statement game the last 8 weeks for them.
Yeah.
That they've gone 7-1 and turned from AFC also ran into AFC division leader playoff team. They've done that in a span of 8 weeks. They've gone from laughing stock to playoffs in 8 weeks. And I think that's, I don't think that's soft selling at all.
With the guy that many people thought would make them a laughing stock.
Exactly. It's like, you got who for quarterback? Ha ha ha. You know? Mm. And all of a sudden, now look at him. And who's going to be laughing if the Broncos actually pull this off on Sunday? No one in New England, that's for sure. No one in New England. All right, how about an update on the practice report today?
It's going to sound like a broken record, but Chung and Vollmer out again for the second straight day this week. And I think you can pretty much rule out Patrick Chung playing this weekend, unfortunately. And it's almost push coming to shove time, I think, John, for both of those guys. I mean, we only have three games left. You can pretty much rule them out both for this weekend, which means you only have two games left. I don't know. Maybe they're holding out hope that the playoffs will be, you know, time enough for them to overcome whatever they need to overcome here, and they'll be able to play again. But I don't know. And something tells me that they're not going to be available anytime soon. Just get a bad feeling. Nothing to base that on, just...
Do they avoid IR?
Well, I think by now you would have to make that decision, you know.
I think so.
It doesn't make any sense to put them on IR.
Which tells me then that they still feel like there's a shot to get into the postseason with those guys.
Yeah, maybe. But I've seen Chung regress instead of progress over the last month.
But not to the point where they're ready to give up on him yet, clearly.
Yeah, like I say, it's push is coming to shove very soon.
Maybe. Maybe they feel like he can't get back out on the field in the next couple of weeks that, you know, hey, let's go ahead and start the healing process for next year.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, if you can get back out there, that's one thing. But if you don't think that you can get back out there or that you're going to do more damage, then why lengthen the process?
Right.
Go on IR, start rehabbing, or get the problem corrected, and let's move on.
Mm.
Isn't that what you do with most injuries, technically?
Mm.
You're supposed to anyway, right?
Yeah.
If you have your best interest of your football team, best interest of your athlete involved here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, all right, let's just cut our losses, let's go. And I think that's a typical Patriot modus operandi. That's what they do with these guys.
Yep.
Even when we think that maybe there's a chance, we've seen guys go on IR that have shocked us in the past. And yet, you know, we think maybe that there's an opportunity here for these guys to be done, and yet we don't see an IR. That tells me they've still got to have the postseason, you know, in their plan somehow, some way. And until we get the release that says they're going on injured reserve, I have every reason to think that those guys will be back for the postseason.
Yeah. At least we've seen Chung around the locker room here and there. Not a sign of Vollmer in weeks.
That could be more serious. But
that was the Philly game.
Right.
Right? So, yeah, it's been
last... no injured reserve list.
Not yet.
Oh, we haven't done almost the most important thing of the day today.
My prediction for the game?
Well, not only that, but how about
word of the day?
The Eric Scalavino word of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's word of the day.
You don't have the Argyle sweater today.
I don't. It's cashmere. Burgundy. But that's
Burgundy,
okay.
Cashmere. Okay.
I'm going to go with nostrum.
Nostrum?
Nostrum is the word of the day. Do you know what it is, John?
Nostrum. Is that
kind of
like...
Is that kind of like
I had a booger stuck in my nostrum?
No. Fort Worth, that's what they say. But no, this has somewhat of a tie-in to this week's game.
Okay.
A nostrum is a medicine or remedy of questionable efficacy.
That could be another word of the day right there.
What, efficacy?
Efficacy.
Oh, come on.
I think that flew over about half of our audience.
So is Tim Tebow, some people think Tim Tebow is a nostrum for the Broncos organization.
I was going to say, can you use it in a sentence?
Absolutely.
Nostrum. N-O-S-T-R-U-M. Nostrum.
Correct.
Thank you very much. We should have a spelling bee. Should have a playbook spelling bee. I think that's one. That's part of. That's the game
part
show.
Part of the game show.
Game show. Yes. I just came up with that.
And the spelling bee will be words that I will choose for the word of the day.
Thank you very much. We're going to do that.
Yeah.
We have way too much fun on this show.
That's the whole point, isn't it?
Of course. Of course. I think that's a great idea. All right. We'll have the match game and we'll have the playbook spelling bee during the playoff bye week.
Excellent.
Provided we have one. Provided we have one. All right. So prediction, score, call it. Call it as you see it. I know you're leaning toward the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm not leaning towards them.
You're picking the Broncos.
I'm picking the Broncos to win, and it's going to be a close, lower scoring game than fans are going to want to see, I'm afraid. Patriots fans, at least, are going to want to see. So I'm going to say 22-20. Broncos win.
Wow. So you don't think the Patriots can score more than 20? You don't think the Patriots can score more than 20?
It's going to be tough.
That would be an upset. That would truly be an upset.
22-20.
I would see a more believable scenario being a little higher scoring. I just don't know that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. They did only score 17 there 2 years ago.
They've had their troubles there.
Okay. Did we finish the practice report today?
Yeah. That was there. I mean, right. We only got to see stretching, so it wasn't really a whole lot. And they were in shells out on the training camp fields.
Right.
So.
Okay. Tim says via Facebook, he says, I just don't see the Broncos offense keeping up. Eric is right in saying the Pats have let teams back in, but two of those games, Philly and Indy, they simply quit playing. In all reality, they were never in danger of losing those games. Hoyer finished both games out. Denver has broken 20 points only twice in the 8 games that Tebow has starred in, one against the 2-win Vikings, which included a defensive touchdown, by the way,
and
one against an Oakland team who threw 3 picks and gave up a special teams touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So if Denver's offense is as stagnant as in the first half as they have been throughout the season, the score will be insurmountable. The offense who struggled and lost in overtime 2 years ago was missing one thing, Gronk. On another note, those PFW guys are overrunning their time slot more and more every day. It was 2:15 by the time your show started today. I'm not interested in listening to a pig-headed chump flapping his lips and making picks based on a nonsensical power ranking. Gee, who's he talking about? I know.
As much crap as he gets for that index, it's legitimate. I mean, it's proprietary information, and if you ask most polling places, they're not going to give out the exact details of how they come up with their formula. But consultation was done with some of the most respected minds in football to get this. So
really?
Yeah, and if you look at
Andy knows respected minds in football.
We have access to some. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a legitimate formula that. Using some of the criteria that some of these respected minds use in their own evaluations of other teams. And if you look at who's at the top, it's bearing out for Andy and his Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Interesting.
If the Texans weren't so injury-riddled, they'd easily be the number one team in the league.
I would agree with that one. I would agree with that one.
And the Packers are right on their heels as the undefeated team with a defense that is somewhat questionable. So
Houston is scary good if they were healthy.
Scary good if they were healthy. Yeah. And they've been number one in the power rankings since Andy unveiled them.
Okay.
For the most part.
Then I can understand why. By the way, Mary Beth chimes in. She says, I second that.
Which
PFW one? Guys spend more time arguing than giving us useful information.
Mm. Thank God I have a respite on this show.
Well, there you go. That's why we have you here.
But it's 3 o'clock, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I have to leave you.
So you now had to leave because...
And tomorrow...
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
That's a good point, Fred.
Okay. There we go.
They should start by heeding their own advice.
And you guys are out of here tomorrow.
We are out of here tomorrow, yeah. Early trip out west to the Mountain Time Zone. Give us a full day out in Denver. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but...
For one of the few times I'll be on the plane with you.
You're going too?
You're going too?
Second trip of the year.
Sweet. Really? How come?
KSP stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to see Jason Dvorkin?
I'm hoping to meet up with him at some point. Okay. I mean, I guess he's really busy with his new restaurant venture. That's very good, Eric. I'm sure he would appreciate that. But, hey, maybe we can get a free meal out of it, huh?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, you should be able to do that. If you can't get a free meal out of it, then yeah.
Yeah.
We're all doing our Jason Dvorkin imitations here.
He's chewing tobacco lip.
He's a good guy.
We'll
all
see
right.
out there, Dvorkin.
All right. Way to go. Good
all
stuff.
Right.
Good
so
stuff
we'll,
indeed. All
we'll
right.
talk to you on Wednesday, Jim.
Yep. Okay. Wednesday, and we'll reconvene, of course. And
follow me on the Twitter.
We'll figure it
I'll
out.
I'll have all the pregame info.
Perfect.
Any details that break late. Yeah. And join us on the pregame social at 2 to 4
Eastern
on
time. Sunday.
Yep.
All right, very good. All right, Eric Scalavino, PFW, and we're going to take a quick time out here. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, coming in the playbook.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011 Bank of America Corporation.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Hour number two, Patriots playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com radio. And in case you did not know this, those indecent assault charges against Julian Edelman earlier this year, they were dropped earlier today because prosecutors thought that they would not be able to prove that the Patriots receiver, quote, intentionally engaged in a harmful or offensive touching of the complainant. You might recall that Edelman was arrested and charged for allegedly groping, I guess, a woman at a Halloween party at a Boston bar. He had pleaded not guilty at his arraignment. A court date had been set for January 10th, but Suffolk County prosecutors wrote in terminating the case today, after a thorough investigation of this case by the Boston Police Department's Sexual Assault Unit, the Commonwealth has concluded it would not be able to meet its burden at trial of proving each of the elements of indecent assault and battery beyond a reasonable doubt. So as the saying goes, case closed. I suppose that's good for Julian Edelman. Just as another point and factor, though, that, you know, nothing happens good after midnight. I mean, let's face it. If you're a public figure and you're out and about and it's late at night, you can only do one thing, and that's get into trouble, unless somehow you get yourself home. It's just the way it is. Hopefully it's a lesson learned for Julian and perhaps some others, that are out there. All right, let's step in now with the one and only Russell Baxter from Pro Football Guru, ProFootballGuru.com. Russell, good afternoon to you. How are you today?
Hello, John. How you been?
Excellent, excellent. So I noticed on ESPN.com they're actually asking us to make a choice today between Tim Tebow and Tom Brady. Seriously? Seriously, we're going to choose between Tim Tebow and Tom Brady? I mean, as to what? As to a pipeline to the Pope or as to football ability? What are we doing here?
I have no idea, and that's an interesting question. But all we got to do is do body of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do body of work and start with that.
Okay.
You could probably fill my whole segment with just, listen, I have great admiration for what the Broncos are doing and Tim Tebow is doing and so on, but, it's an interesting, to describe what's going on in Denver is almost hard because it goes against such a lot of conventional things.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you play, for lack of a better word, poorly for three quarters and then suddenly awaken and wind up winning these games, it takes a lot of help to do that. It takes your defense keeping you in the game. It takes some breaks by your special teams. The football is not a one-man show. Tom Brady will attest to that himself.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the Tebow phenomenon and so on, and it should make for great theater on Sunday in Denver and so on, because listen, they are a first place team. And usually once a year we get one of these, last to first stories. But usually the last to first story doesn't start out 1-4 sometimes. And you look at the Denver pass rush, which is much improved because of Von Miller. You look at their running game, which is a guaranteed 120 yards the last eight games. They're the number one running team in the league now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is astounding considering where they were last year when they didn't even average 100 yards. So there's a lot of factors in here. And it's easy to point to quarterbacks because we love to do that all the time. But as we delve into this game, I'll save my favorite stat when it comes to this almost for last.
Okay.
It is kind of phenomenal what is happening late in games with this team. But it also takes staying in these games for that to happen. And this could certainly be a situation where the Broncos aren't necessarily in the game in the fourth quarter. Now, I'm not making a prediction or anything, but you're talking about a team in the Patriots who score more points in a game usually than the Broncos do in two games.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
All right.
So, we're talking about during this streak, the Broncos have won three overtime games, as
mm-hmm.
we know.
Mm-hmm.
They have won five games where they've scored 18 points or less.
Right.
Which would all have to imply that they're giving up less than 18 points.
Sure.
Which is, has to be said for the net. And you told me to be giving credit where credit's due, John. This was the worst defense in the National Football League last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They gave up the most points. They gave up the most offensive touchdowns. They gave up the most yards. So to not give that any credence at all, which people are starting to, I understand that. Listen, it's real easy to point to one guy, okay? And there is something going on there that's almost indescribable. And you just kind of go with it. But if you're really comparing, you know, the career of Tim Tebow and the career of Tom Brady, I mean, somebody used to say, give me a break.
Well, the one stat that we came up with earlier from Jeremy Lundblad was the fact through the first 11 starts of each of these two guys, their numbers are almost identical. In fact, believe it or not, Tebow's yardage and touchdown numbers are slightly higher than Brady's. Both players are 8-3 in their first 11 games as a starter.
Well, I don't doubt that. Listen, I often point to one of my favorite statistical anomalies of all time that people forget. I know you know this, John, so I'll bore you anyway.
That's okay.
The Patriots Super Bowl run in the playoffs in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive unit scored 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them by Tom Brady.
Right.
It was knocked out of the Pittsburgh game, as you well know, and it was a Bledsoe touchdown pass.
That's true.
It was a Brady run, it was a Bledsoe touchdown pass, and it was a Brady touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also a Ty Law interception returned in the Super Bowl, and a Troy Brown punt returned in the AFC Championship game. And when it was all said and done, Antoine Harris had the ball after the blocked field goal.
Right. Kind of funny how the Broncos have won the old Patriot way.
How they? I'm sorry, I was just interrupted there. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the Broncos have won almost in an old Patriot way.
Yes, they have. Their quarterback wasn't routinely throwing less than 50%, mm-hmm. meaning Tom Brady, right. I don't believe.
No.
Because a lot of quarterbacks don't do this in the league and get away with it. Okay? Now, Tim Tebow is throwing the ball better as of late. There's no doubt about it. Okay?
Yeah.
But this constant digging of holes. And last week, I think they outdone themselves. I mean, I watched that game, and I have no idea how they were down 10 that late and somehow managed to pull out that game. It was crazy. I mean, I know Marion Barber was running out of bounds and his fumble had a big assist in that and all that. But, you also watched the Denver offense throughout the afternoon and it was lifeless. And the one thing that the Bears can do defensively, and they did it this year with Michael Vick as well, and in particular when you have a quarterback who can roll out like a Tebow or a Michael Vick or anybody else, the Bears' defense has such great lateral speed with Urlacher. Julius Peppers was running side-by-side with Tim Tebow on one play.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Lance Briggs. Okay? They're an athletic defense who can do that. So it nullifies Tebow as a runner, which is what they did last week.
Mm-hmm.
They nullified him as a runner. But bottom line is, Denver somehow found a way to win the game again. And this is very intriguing. This is such a contrast of styles with a team that, funny enough, we talked about the worst defense in the league last year. That title currently right now belongs to the New England Patriots.
This is very true.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get back to the Pats and the Broncos in a bit. But there are a couple of games that come up, one tonight, obviously, and then another one on Saturday that have playoff contenders within. I wanted to touch on them briefly just because there are some potential playoff teams. Falcons go tonight against the Jaguars. Cowboys are on the road at the Buccaneers. We'll get to the Cowboys in a moment. Let's start with the Falcons. At 8-5 overall, it's still a team that certainly seems to be, well within their reach to get into the playoffs, to realize their goals, what have you. But nobody, Russell, talking about Atlanta, maybe outside of the state of Georgia. So should we be?
I don't know if we should be, John. I mean, this has been a team that has been treading water for most of the year. They got off to a slow start. We saw them get blown out by the Bears opening weekend. We saw them blow a 2-touchdown lead to the Packers at home. Their defense really struggled early in the year. A couple weeks ago, we saw them go to Houston, which was a big matchup, mm-hmm. and score 10 points, and Matt Ryan, I think, threw two more interceptions. Last week dug themselves a big hole at Carolina. There are stats you sometimes can't explain or historical trends. I don't know why the Atlanta Falcons have never made the playoffs 2 years in a row in their history.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's a little bit of a weird stat.
It's a weird stat. It's not inconceivable that it'll continue this year. But I will say this. They got a little help from the Bears last week and, of course, the Cowboys last week and so on. You know, Detroit won again, but Atlanta beat Detroit this year. So the thing that's interesting in the NFC, and I know it's not necessarily a direction you want to go in, but keep an eye on it, Arizona and Seattle sneaking up. And you know, there's not many games left, but both of them could be 7-7 by the end of the weekend. So that could bring more teams into play. But Atlanta just has to develop some consistency. They've been so inconsistent up and down just when you think they got a little momentum going. And that game they lost at home to the Saints where Mike Smith went for it on 4th-and-1 in his own territory in overtime, I still don't understand that. That changes everything. That has them, you know, with a possibility of still winning the NFC South rather than the Saints, who have already clinched a playoff spot, really in the driver's seat for that. Mm-hmm. That decision to do that, who says the Saints wouldn't have won the game anyway? But the bottom line is that Atlanta almost handed it to them.
Right.
And I think that changed a lot of perspective about the Falcons this year.
Well, let's give ProFootballGuru.com a little credit here. You had in your Thursday teasers this week talking about half the playoff field being set. Cowboys, Giants, Falcons, as we were talking about, Lions, Bears, assuming that they are the remaining teams in the postseason mix, but don't forget Arizona and Seattle at 6-7. Cards have won 3 straight, 5 of the last 6. Pete Carroll's Seahawks, 4-1 in their last 5.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
The Seahawks last year went 7-9 and won a division.
Won the division, right.
If they run the table, they'll go 9-7 and won't make the playoffs,
probably.
Hey, timing is everything.
Probably. All right. The other game that I wanted to talk about is the Saturday game, which, of course, features the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know that I can even adequately describe the Cowboys season in a nutshell because they've had so many incredible finishes. The Giants game last week was certainly the icing on the cake, how you can go from being 2 touchdowns up to losing like they did. They've got to go on the road and play the Buccaneers. I guess the main question is, and this should, you know, really affect not only Dallas fans but, you know, NFL fans overall, are the Cowboys simply too shell-shocked to recover anymore? I mean, they're 7-6. Playoffs are still very much a part of it, but can they recover to get in?
I think you were half right when you said nutshell.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, nuts is right.
Nuts is right. You know, from the losing of the Jet game to Tom Brady driving on them late after they couldn't kill the clock. From the last 2 weeks, in fact, I don't know if you know this, but over the weekend on Twitter, I created a brand new statistical category for the NFL. And it relates to Dan Bailey, the kicker for the Cowboys.
Okay.
For the last 2 weeks, is 2-0 in kicks, a field goal attempt that do not count. And 0-2 in do-overs. Okay?
I love that. That's great.
Well, I mean, first he gets frozen by his own coach, and then rightfully so, he gets frozen by Tom Coughlin. And, of course, Jason Pierre-Paul was a monster that entire game.
We're going to call him the NFL's version of Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Now, wait a minute. Which version? I'm an old Batman guy from TV.
No, we gotta go with the 1960s Adam West version.
Okay, but you got 3 choices. You've got George Sanders.
Yes.
Eli Wallach.
Oh yes, Eli
Otto
Wallach.
Otto Preminger.
Now, oh, Otto Preminger. I forgot about him. That's right. I gotta go with Eli Wallach though. I think he was my favorite.
He was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
He was pretty. I actually just saw the George Sanders episode on a couple of days ago.
No way. Oh my God, that's classic stuff.
Oh, it's great stuff.
That is
but
classic.
Anyway,
all right, we digress.
The beat
that's great.
You know what was funny about last week's game and going into the game, and you notice as well as I do, John, here come the New York Giants, who had lost 4 games in a row and yet we're only a game out of first place, and that should tell you the unevenness of the Cowboys season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys had just come off a 4-game winning streak before the Arizona loss and so on. Now, they should get a little help from the Buccaneers this week, who once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away,
mm-hmm.
were 4-2 and coming off a win over the New Orleans Saints, in which they picked off Drew Brees 3 times.
Yeah, right. That seems like
they haven't won
ages
a game
ago.
Since.
Yeah, ages ago, right?
And that's 7 in a row. And in those 7 games, including 7 last week, a whopping 23 turnovers in their last seven games.
Mm.
To put that in perspective, last year when they were 10-6, they coughed up the ball 19 times all year. Ooh. A lot of that is Josh Freeman. Their run defense has been horrible. Last week, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who had scored, I think, what, 11 offensive touchdowns coming into the game, put 41 points on the board against them. Mm-hmm. In various ways, it was the most points the Jaguars had scored in 4 years. And, you know, I don't know if the trend gets reversed here, because the Buccaneers look like a team that's really headed in the wrong direction. And, you know, there's already starting to be murmurs about Raheem Morris's job situation, which would really be a shame. You know, he had a really miserable first year. Last year, a big surprise, you know, wrong place, wrong time, being 10-6 and not making the playoffs. And this year, is it indeed possible that all three Florida teams would fire their head coaches in the same year?
Looks like they're headed that way.
It could be. But as I pointed out over the weekend, there's a lot to be said for geography, John.
Right.
Keep in mind that the city of Green Bay is 13-0,
mm-hmm.
and the state of Florida is 12-27.
Yeah, that is putting it in perspective. All right, you brought it up. Packers playing at the Chiefs this week. Any shot at all for the Chiefs at home against Packers and putting the one in the L column?
I think they have a shot at showing up. And no, I just don't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean or anything, but you're talking about a Chiefs team that has 8 losses this year, 5 of them, John, by at least 27 points.
Wow. And a new coach this week, obviously. And,
right. A new coach, new quarterback. It looks like it'll probably be Kyle Orton, who the last time Kyle Orton saw the Bears was the Packers back earlier in the season.
Season, right, man.
Yeah, that was 49-23.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very determined Green Bay team, and as you well know, have an eye on history in a lot of regards in terms of running the table. They've won 19 overall games in a row. The record, of course, is 21 by the Pats. Looking to repeat as Super Bowl champions, which hasn't been done since the Pats. Aaron Rodgers having one of those astounding years, on the verge of becoming the fifth player, but the sixth time a quarterback has thrown at least 40 touchdown passes in the season. That would be Tom Brady, of course, the record with 50, Peyton Manning with 49. Kurt Warner had 41 the year they won the Super Bowl. And the one only guy to do it twice, which was Dan Marino, which will show you something about numbers. Dan Marino threw 48 in 1984 when they went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 44 in 1986 and didn't make the playoffs.
That's phenomenal, actually.
Yeah, so
that's
three phenomenal. Games to go. Aaron's got an outside shot at Tom Brady's record. I don't know if he'll get there. I don't think it'll be for a lack of trying. But, you know, listen, they scored 46 points last week. He only threw 2 touchdown passes, and they yanked him in the you know, late in the third quarter and so on. So I think the Packers want to repeat. I don't know if they're – I think they're interested in going undefeated, but I don't think it at their expense. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I just can't see Kansas City mounting any kind of – listen, even if they keep it close. And listen, a couple weeks ago we saw them on a Sunday night play the Steelers very close.
That's right.
But then again, we saw them last week where they had – and one of my most interesting stats of last weekend, at halftime, the Kansas City Chiefs had 3 points and 4 total yards.
Oh, that's just miserable. No wonder they lost their coach. Yeah, yeah.
The jaunt to the locker room at intermission was longer than what they gained. So,
all right, let's turn it then from the impending 14-0 start of the Packers to the other contenders with the Patriots for the top spot in the AFC. I know you've written about it as well this week. You know, you've got the Patriots at 10-3. You certainly have the Ravens at 10-3. You got the Steelers at 10-3. You got the Texans at 10-3. I'm going to ask a kind of a silly question because I know that you won't give me a silly answer. Is there any reason to think that the Steelers – aren't the most likely team to lose this week because the Steelers are going up against the 49ers on the road on Monday night? Is there another chance for one of those other 10-3s to stub their toe?
I think Pittsburgh is probably got the most daunting task.
Okay.
The chance that Ben Roethlisberger may or may not play. We already know they're going to be without James Harrison,
mm-hmm.
who's been suspended. I don't know what Lamar Woodley's status is this week. He's been nursing one hamstring after another. So we're going to have to see what happens with that. And you would certainly love to have your defense at a premium when it comes to rushing Alex Smith, who has been sacked 18 times in the last three games, even though they won one of those games. Sacked, I think, what, five more times against Arizona this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not the Niners, whose offense have scored 25 touchdowns and put 36 field goals on the board.
Wow.
You know, every week you see these 26 nothing, John, is two touchdowns and four field goals for them.
Yep.
Okay, 19 points last week is a touchdown and four field goals for them. So you're seeing them struggle in that regard. They only scored two field goals against Baltimore when they lost on Thanksgiving night. Mm-hmm. So you would want this, if you're the Steelers, you'd like to have your defense up to snuff. But the Niners play some pretty good defense as well. They've given up the fewest points. I think the second most perilous team there is, and some people might think it's New England. I actually think it's Baltimore because it's at – what's interesting about this race for the top spot in the AFC is Houston is at home this week against Carolina.
Right.
Meanwhile, the other three contenders are all on the road.
On the road, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And all two of them are against first-place teams, one a division champion in the Niners and one a first-place team in the Denver Broncos in the AFC West. So – To me, it would be inconceivable if Denver should beat New England, and Houston could have the top record in the AFC
mm-hmm.
by Tuesday morning.
Sure could,
and almost rightfully so. It's been interesting to watch the Texans, who have had to really do it the hard way this year with adversity, losing a lot of their prominent star players, losing two quarterbacks down to a rookie. And last week, you're going to talk about a gut check game at Cincinnati. Might have spoiled the Bengals' season and gave them their first division title in the team's brief history.
Right. And I know you've been touting on the Texans for a couple of years now, and we were talking
even
earlier.
Before they came into the league, I think I had them in the Super Bowl.
So. You might have. But yeah. We were talking about earlier how scary good that team could be if they had their health.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what's funny? And I agree with you. But it is funny how when adversity strikes, how you have to pin your ears back, and when things don't come to you as easily, how sometimes it works to your benefit. I always talk about, you know, we talk about the Colts throughout most of the last 10 years, always having to make that decision on whether to go for an undefeated season. Okay, how many times did we see that happen?
Yeah.
And the year that they had to be the third seed and play an extra playoff game, including a road playoff game at Baltimore, because Baltimore was the two seed and they were the three. That was the year they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I always find that very interesting. Where they couldn't take their foot off the pedal is the year the Colts got their Super Bowl with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I just find, in fact, if you take it even a step further, John, here was a team that known for its high-scoring offense, shaky defense, playing indoors, fast track. And the day they won the Super Bowl, they ran the ball in the rain outdoors at Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So sometimes when you have to do something that requires a little more mental effort, maybe it's the best thing that can ever happen to you. I think that's what's happened with the Houston Texans this year.
No disagreements on this end. The couple of other interesting games AFC-wise, obviously the within the AFC East, I think we'll kind of gloss over the Bills and the Dolphins. They're the next two Patriot opponents, and they get each other this week, but the game means little. The Jets on the road playing at the Eagles. Now, obviously, with a Patriots win or a Jets loss, the Patriots clinch the division, and, you know, certainly it would appear that they stay right in the running for a bye one way or the other. Could happen this week if they win or the Jets lose. But I guess my question is, can the Jets lose to the Eagles on the road, or have the Eagles mailed it in?
I don't think the Eagles have mailed it in. I don't think I really don't think they have mailed it in. In fact, if the Jets beat the Eagles, they'll do something they've never done in their history.
Which is?
They've never beaten the Eagles.
Wait a second. Whoa. They've never beaten the Eagles?
In the regular season, the New York Jets are 0-8 lifetime against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. Now, I guess I just had glossed over that this week and never noticed it.
That's all right. That's why you have me on?
Yes, sir.
I'm here to fill in gaps. I'm kind of like Spackle. So, but it's true.
That's
one of those statistical anomalies.
That's a line. We got to save that one.
The series began in 1973. The last time they played was 2007. That obviously carries an awful lot of ground. And I'll go out on a limb and say that the same players didn't play on all eight games. Okay? Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. It's just one of those funny things. But it's the truth. They are 0-8 lifetime against them.
That's bizarre.
They play each other in the preseason all the time. But in the regular season, it's usually about every 4 years. But you tell me why. I can't explain it, but it's the truth. They have not beaten the Philadelphia Eagles in their interconference series. And like I said, it sits at 0-8 now. So, I saw the Philadelphia Eagles last week against Miami. They didn't look like they mailed it in.
Okay.
Very balanced offense by the Miami Dolphins. They scored 10 points and gave up 9 sacks. Okay? So that looked like a pretty aggressive Eagles defense last week, which gets all their pass rush from their defensive line. I will say this. It'll be very interesting to see how they defense the run and play the run and so on. So that I think definitely bears watching.
I also wanted to look briefly, Russell, at the Lions at the Raiders, because you got two teams that are kind of hanging on here in their respective divisions. Maybe Detroit has a little bit better shot than the Raiders do, but clearly the Raiders need some help. They could get some help from the Patriots this weekend. Are the Raiders still where they need to be at 7-6?
Well, I think that, listen, they've fallen behind things. The last two games, it's really been a fall from grace. Carson Palmer still having a lot of problems with turnovers, no question about that. So, listen, the one thing about both of these teams, awful lot of penalties. The Raiders have 130 penalties this year. The Lions are desperately trying to catch them. They've had at least 10 penalties 3 games in a row. So I don't know how long this game is going to take.
Yeah, it's going to be long.
Yeah, very uneven performances. Both Stafford and Palmer, trouble with interceptions the last 4 or 5 weeks. This is really a coin flip game. I think I lean a little more toward the Raiders because they're playing at home. And listen, if the Raiders win and New England beats Denver, we're locked up all again in that division. So I think the Raiders still have plenty to play for, and they, sneak in to win that AFC West. Listen, they haven't been in the playoffs in a long time.
Right.
2002. I'm sure they're very anxious, to cap off what was a good start. And, both these teams got off to decent starts. One of them, I think, is going to be disappointed by the end of the year.
I agree with that. All right, then let's bring it back full circle to, the game that, wanted to flex it, and then CBS flexed its muscle. Maybe Robert Kraft threw in a little bit of his muscle, too, and they decided to keep it right where it was on CBS because, quite frankly, it has all the makings of a regular season bonus baby bonanza, TV ratings-wise, I think, this Sunday afternoon with a 4:15 Eastern start working into the prime time on the East Coast probably before all is said and done. I'm sure the fourth quarter ratings for the Pats and Broncos will be through the roof. Which is exactly what CBS is banking on. And I think that CBS has got to be banking on the fact that Tebow will find a way to work some of his second half, if not fourth quarter, magic again. So, we've been discussing all week, how can the Patriots possibly, put their foot on the Broncos jugular and make this more than a two-possession game going into the fourth quarter?
Well, I think it's going to also depend on how Denver attacks New England. It's Denver, knowing that New England's the pass defense is not very good. Do they throw caution to the wind and have Tebow throw the ball? Now, I'm not saying he's going to complete a lot of them, but he's throwing the ball better than he was earlier in the season. So I wouldn't rule out the fact that they would do something like that. So, but listen, New England is back to scoring 30 points a game. And listen, we did see Tebow and company when somebody got up on them this year, and that was the Lions, and they got buried in that game. And Tebow made 2 crucial mistakes, 2 turnovers that were returned for touchdowns. Last week he had 2 turnovers as well. So I just don't see – and listen, by the way, I also am very well aware of that, including the playoffs. Tom Brady is 1-6 lifetime.
Right, against Denver. Yeah.
Against Denver, which is a very, very intriguing stat. Okay? Not sure what it means, but it's an intriguing stat.
It means that he hasn't had success against the team with the horse logo.
Oh. That's very true. Yet, in those games, he has more very respectable numbers. So I don't know if it's all because of Tom Brady and so on. So, I mean, you can do anything you want with stats.
Mm-hmm.
As you well know, I've made a living out of it.
Yes, you have.
Yes. So anyway, you know, not to bury the lead, I just don't see Denver keeping up, okay? I just find it, listen, we saw New England go through its stretch of not scoring 30 points, okay? Now, I'm not saying Denver can't win this game, but they're going to have to come out of here and do something different than they have done, because I don't think playing the style that they've played for the last 8 weeks is going to get it done against New England team.
I agree with that.
We saw them play Green Bay earlier in the year, and I know that was Kyle Orton, okay? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't Kyle Orton on defense, okay?
Right.
You know, and that's what's going to be very interesting here. So I have to lean toward New England. You know, I'm not going to be surprised by different circumstances. We're actually, by Tuesday morning, going to have, I think we're going to have Pittsburgh and Baltimore and New England all in the playoffs. Just because, you know, I think it's just they're all going to get there eventually. I get the feeling they're all going to wrap up those playoff spots this weekend, either by winning or other teams losing.
Okay.
And, you know, I also think by the end of the weekend that the AFC West is going to be a tie division again.
Wow. So at least we'll have one race to go over the last couple of weeks of the regular season, in the AFC anyway.
Yes, but more, yes. More than likely, I think it will be. And, you know, but then again, you know, with 2 weeks to go, it'll be a race, and then, you know, the erraticness of Oakland, which you kind of got to put into perspective here. You know, when you give up, you get beat the way they've gotten beat the last couple of weeks by 20 and by 30. You know, I don't rule out that they could win this game against Detroit and then lay an egg the week afterwards.
Right,
so
right, makes sense to me.
Yep.
All right.
I try.
Yeah. On occasion, you do make good sense. Yeah. I like that. But the spackle line is the line of the week, so congratulations to you for that one.
Feel free to reuse it. So.
We'll introduce you as Russell Baxter, PFW and Patriots Football Weekly and Patriots.com Radio and Playbook Spackle. That's good.
Listen, I'll make it easy, even easier for you. For at least temporarily, for your own entertainment, we can use the S in Russell S. Baxter for Spackle.
Russell Spackle. That's, you know what? That's why I'm sure this is why they pay you the big bucks to do this.
Somebody does.
I love it. Russell, great to visit with you as always, my friend. I'll look forward to it again next week.
You got it, John. Have a great weekend.
All right, Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Check out his stuff if you haven't done it. He's usually dead spot on, and when he's not, well, then he's got a good statistical reason for it not being dead spot on. Great stuff. I love how he does his Thursday teasers every week. He gives you basically three really key points to watch through the course of the weekend, three things that you can focus on as a football fan to watch for the weekend and see whether or not it comes true. It's all spot on stuff. Love this guy. Known him for, as I've told many of you, and I know many of you are aware, I've known this guy for, well, let's see, I worked at ESPN Radio since 99 when I met him. So I've known Russell for 12, going on 13 years, and he never ceases to amaze me. All right, let's get to some emails, because you guys have taken some time to do that, and I always appreciate the email. So the questions, of course, have to do with predicting the game. And by the way, if you haven't done so, you can fire off the email, webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline if you'd like to call. You can do the Facebook posting as well. Twitter is at JRook0722. Now, the other question, if you will, other than predicting the score of the game on Sunday, has to do with, do you have a little prayer offering for Tim Tebow? I figured, well, why not? We've been talking a lot about sports and religion, you know, in the same context this week with Tebow's professed shall we say, forward attitude about his religious beliefs. And while we've had our differing opinions on that throughout the course of the week, I thought, well, let's just have some fun with it. And maybe you could have some sincere fun with it and offer him his best wishes. Or not, as the case may be. Tyler from Georgia writes, Eric closed PFW talking about how the Pats have not played well against Denver in recent history and used that in his reasoning for picking the Broncos. And to all who are using this argument, may I remind you that the Pats never lose at home. Brady doesn't lose to the Bills. The Patriots have never won a game in Washington. So it's a streak-snapping season. It's actually a good point, Tyler, because the Patriots did lose at home. Brady did lose to the Bills. And the Patriots did win in Washington. Thought I'd have to point that out just in case you didn't know, but Tyler in Georgia brings that out. So good stuff. Josh in Charlottesville First of all, I had to say I love going to the game in D.C. I was the guy with the Brady jersey on, tempting the Skins marching band with crab cakes right off the grill and a half gallon of Stolichnaya. But on to the more important stuff. Wow. Wow, I wish I had been there. I would like to have seen that. The crab cakes.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Thank you, Eddie Mack. But, you know, that would have been great. What a great combo. What a great combo. Sounds like you got it done here, Josh. Anyway, he says, all right, my prediction for the Patriots-Broncos. Pats win it 33-21. Patriots' record against the Broncos may not be that good, but that's irrelevant, even in the Belichick-Brady era. I think Tebow is a terrible QB, but I respect him for his work ethic, his athleticism, his values. I do disagree with how he uses the NFL as a platform for an anti-abortion campaign and how often you see him on the sidelines praying and Tebowing. I refuse to believe that God is going to take sides in a football game or make someone miss a field goal. And I think that's the general consensus this week, Josh. We spent a lot of time discussing that very issue on yesterday's program. And quite frankly, I think most everybody, and not everyone, but the general consensus, a majority opinion, is that, you know, okay, the public profession of your faith is okay as long as it's done outside the guise of a football game. Pre-game, fine. Post-game, fine. End-game, no, forget about it. Josh says, I get that he wants to be a role model and do it the right way, but come on. I'm sorry, Tim, but the Patriots are going to come in here and put a smackdown on the Mile High Messiah and hopefully shut a lot of people the hell up. The matchup between Decker and McCourty should be a good one to watch. Can you feel it? He's got just a little smack of WWE in there. Attaboy, Josh. Gene in Daytona. Denver was not why the Patriots lost in Denver. It was Mike Shanahan. Look at Bill's record against John Fox would be a better judge of who'll win. Shanahan is in BB's head, not Fox or Denver. He says Pats 31, Denver 9. You know, that's an interesting point, Gene. And that is a point, and I will make a point of bringing this up, and I usually do. That's a point that no one has brought up this week. Absolutely, I have not seen this point in any discussion, any talk radio, any newspaper, any message. I've not seen that. Fact is that Shanahan has had some success against Belichick in the past. John Fox has not. Obviously, Shanahan almost had success against Belichick last week. Came within, what, 5 yards of it, if it weren't for that tip pass that Gerard Mayo picked off with, what, 22 seconds left in the game. Good point, Gene. Tony is next. Tony says, history has nothing to do with Sunday's game. Bold prediction. He's talking to Eric in particular here. You basically see no way the Pats win this? No, Eric, it will be the Broncos with a 0% chance of winning the game. In case you've forgotten, it is the pass defense that is horrible, not the run defense, and Tebow cannot complete the forward pass. Timmy can't go 4 or 5, 3 and outs, and expect to still be in the game. So Tony says 45-17, Pats. It's actually the first blowout that we've had. First blowout. Ken and Canton, let the congregation be seated. Oh, goodness. Here we go. As we approach the great biblical confrontation, I am reminded of some scripture from Revelations. We have misguided evangelical zealots claiming that God now roots for Denver. But I say beware the anti-Gronk. He's a smooth talker who has been sent by Satan himself to bedazzle the multitude. And his name is Tebow. Yes, Tebow, the devil's pawn, designed to take us away from the true path, the path to Gronk. And yea, as I quote from Leviticus 6:12-24, hut, hut, and the Gronk shall lead them out of the desert unto the promised land, where he will meet the anti-Gronk and his nefarious minions in a final battle for the world's souls, or beer, whichever is deemed more important at the time. The world will wait with bated breath for the result to given to us in a clarion call of angels from CBS. Let the congregation pray for Gronk to bring us the victory over the anti-Gronk and save the world from his oppressive media coverage. Let us pray. And may the Gronk be with you. Amen. That, my friend Ken, was just outstanding. Wreck him! Wow. Outstanding. I hope that my narration did your email justice, because that's pretty cool. Very cool. Ken says, is it any wonder that CBS fought so hard to televise this game? Can you imagine what they're getting for commercials for Armageddon at Mile High? It's going to be epic, my friends, epic. Well played. Well played, Ken. You so get this program. You really do. Well played. All right, Chad sends this. Enough from the morons who keep repeating that Brady is carrying the defense. Offense scores, you fools, you tools. Football equals quarterback. Your quarterback can't deliver. You're going right down the toilet. Did you see the Saints versus the Titans? The Steelers versus the Browns? Enough with Tebow. The guy stinks. He can't throw. He's a first-rounder. He's a backward sectarian. And enough with the Protestant showcasing. And thank the Lord, it's just dog poop. Catapult that guy into the fractal universes or send him off with Sarah Palin to help her sell Going Rogue. I don't want to hear about Denver's frightening pass rushers. Tom Brady was 24 years old when he drove the team to our first win ever in the Super Bowl with 1:30 on the clock. What's the matter with that Scapopolovino guy? He's been bashing on our team for the entire season. I've never heard him say a single positive comment on the Patriots. Enough with him, Andrew Hart and Paul Paparolalo, who are a bunch of overpaid negative beavers.
Funny. I mean, what's the funniest part about that sentence? Overpaid.
Yeah, well, that's also true. You guys have a serious problem with the Patriots. In fact, you guys should go root for the Seahawks. Says, John, you're terrific, but the negative sectarian PFW gang sucks. So as Olivier, the French guy, the Pats went at 38-9. Chad, beautiful. Beautiful. Back-to-back rack'em emails there, Kev. That's just, that's
I got
great
a poop
stuff.
Reference yesterday, too.
You got a poop reference?
I think it was the same guy. It sounded familiar, but, you know, I mean, no, it's fine. That's no problem. It's a socialistic network, right? We can, I mean, as far as sharing emails.
Hey, I'm absolutely. Oh, my gosh. These guys are really, I got to admit, bravo. Bravo. There's some really good stuff here today.
Terribly that day? Poop. They played like
poop.
I prefer caca, but, yeah. You know, yeah. We get the point.
We've heard that. We've heard that. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say this one for you. Okay. I think this is your buddy.
Which one?
Email that's right here. Looks like
I have a lot of buddies. What?
Yeah, well, this one looks like he's yours.
No.
Oh, there's another one that's yours. Okay, I'm saving you those, Pete.
All right.
I don't want to steal your thunder on this.
What, the curse words in the first sentence?
No. No, I'm just not going to steal your thunder.
My peeps?
Yeah, your peeps.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This one's from Bruce. Bruce in Baltimore says, John, love the show and your thoughts. Sorry for the long-winded email. But he says, to go deep into the playoffs, you have to have competency on both sides of the ball. I've had the opportunity to closely watch the frustration of the Baltimore Ravens fans who have had a great defense for years, hold other teams to 9, 12, 13, still lose because of the inept offense, couldn't score a couple of times in 60 minutes. They won a lot of regular season games over the years without the offense scoring a single touchdown, but playoffs are different. This year, they average 25 points a game, still have their defense, and are quite formidable. Now, the Patriots have a high-powered offense, but when that offense comes against 11 committed guys on defense, who says not today? You have a real problem if the Patriot defense also doesn't step up. Patriots defense has shown that commitment in the red zone and refused many touchdowns. So if we could just extend that another 50 yards and refuse some field goals, too, life would be good. Best way to win games is to keep the ball in the hands of Brady's offense. Okay, I think we're kind of catching on to that. I think Brady's blow up in Washington is one key indicator for Sunday. He's mad. That makes him dangerously motivated. It also will motivate the offense and the defense. In addition, this is the season for disrupting records. We have Pittsburgh's number. Not this year. Always win at home. Not this year. No red zone picks. Not anymore. Haven't won in Washington. Well, we did this year. Traditionally have a hard time in Denver. Not this year. Patriots will look good against Denver. At least a 10-point win. And Bruce says, if you want an interesting and thoughtful insight on Tim Tebow, listen to the sound effects clips in NFL.com. You get a good feel for him, and it's hard not to like the guy and wish him well in his career, but not this week, of course. He will be around in the league for a long time. My prayer for him, don't get hurt on Sunday. We don't want to be that team. Fair. That's fair. All right, let me see what else I got here. Andrew. In Utah. How about this for a prediction? Tebow gets hurt out in the second quarter. Pats go on to roll over them 42-13. However, all the news after the game will be on Patriots roll because injured Tebow.
It'll be all about Tebow.
Plausible scenario. Yeah. It's all going to be about Tebow.
Anytime,
we know.
Anytime with him running, any quarterback running the ball like that, it's a matter of time.
Matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
Right.
Michael Vick is 10 times a quarterback Tim Tebow will ever be, and I don't say that lightly because I'm not a big Michael Vick fan. But you know, look at him now. Does anybody think Tim Tebow is ever going to get close to what Michael Vick?
He doesn't have the elusiveness.
Not
that
even
Vic
close.
Had.
Not even close.
He may be more.
Certainly doesn't have the arm.
He may be built more like a Brinks truck.
Yeah, yep.
But that doesn't necessarily translate to success in the NFL now, does it? Of course not.
No, I mean it's you're going to get hurt.
Yeah,
you're going to get hurt.
He hasn't faced linemen, defensive backs, linebackers.
No,
doesn't matter how stacked, how built you are, you're going to get punished.
You got a little punished last week. You turned the ball over a couple times. You got punished in the Detroit game big time.
Right.
And the rest of it is about inept quarterbacks and inept, offense coordinators and coaches on the other side, and they have a miracle field goal kicker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Mr. Scalavino can say they're only going to score 20 points with the banged-up secondary that the Broncos have, the fact that the Patriots have averaged 37 points a game the last 5 weeks. Eric, my friend, I love you, but you're out of your mind. By the way, I think you have some great articles the last couple of weeks, though. I do. They all did. Paul, Andy, and Eric wrote some great stuff it is a great magazine, whether I disagree with them or not. They bring up a lot of good points. But,
absolutely.
Eric, my friend, don't worry about the Patriots scoring 30. Worry about them, I'd worry about them maybe getting 40.
I think Eric's just being a little contrarian this week. That's
why?
All.
Why do people have to do that if they don't really believe it? But I think he really believes it. I don't think he's like
that. I'm not sold on it. I'm not sold that he really believes it. I'm just
then
not
why
sold on
say
it.
Why then just so you're saying he's fraudulent? He's being a phony?
No, I just think that he likes to be contrarian. You know, Pete, we do that sometimes in talk radio.
I'd never do that. I don't.
Okay.
I might agree.
That I believe.
I agree with you. If I agree with you 100 times, I mean, people used to say that about Glenn and I when I worked over there. Yeah. And sometimes you'd agree a lot of things. Other times you completely disagree.
You're making my point.
I was usually right.
Yes, we know this. All right, what's coming up today?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff.
Good. He's going to go get his notepads and
tell me what it is. No, B-Lo is here.
Yeah,
and
right.
Obviously in the first, doing the fantasy. Big week again for fantasy
absolutely.
Football.
Right.
And then Jeff Legwald from the Denver Post will join me.
Good.
In the second hour, and we'll see if he's caught up in all this hype. And I've read some of the Denver Post. Most of the people in the Denver Post, although Woody Page did say whoever wins the Patriots-Denver game will go to the Super Bowl.
That's stepping out, isn't it?
But everybody else here has been pretty, just be careful.
Yeah.
No, I don't think anybody really is going over the top. I think people realize and, hey, listen to my show from yesterday. Broke it all down for you. Every single game, all these plays. It is the most fraudulent 7-1 stint I've ever seen in professional sports. It is a mirage. It's a mirage.
And eventually bubbles do burst.
Yep.
And we're going to find out this weekend if the bubble bursts. All right, Pete's coming up in a couple of minutes. Let me get a couple more emails in here. Gene says, here's a prayer. Pray for a hurricane. Okay, fair enough. For whom? And then LaShawna in Las Vegas. Oh, yes, Officer LaShawna. While I appreciate all the objectivity going around, my bold prediction in this game will not be close. Or is this game will not be close? The Patriots win by at least 10. What does history between two teams show us about today's game? Nothing. Prior to playing Washington, we had not beaten them on the road. I was more worried about that game than I was on this one. What happened to the Washington game? The Patriots won. Last time I checked, when you look at a team's record, there aren't any side notes that say, won, but only by 7, in a very close game that should have been a blowout. And she makes a good point here.
Yep.
Prior to playing Buffalo, they had never beaten the Patriots when Tom Brady was the quarterback. What happened in the Buffalo game? Well, I guess we all know. What happened at home against Pittsburgh? How long had it been since the Pats lost at home? I think we all know that, too. So please save all the history, because it has no bearing on Sunday's game. Why isn't anyone mentioning Pittsburgh barely beating the Colts? They won only by 3. She says Pats will win.
I did.
Yeah.
A few times.
She noticed it. Gabe says, John, a prayer for Tebow? Can't say I got one for him, except that I hope he doesn't break anything. Maybe for the season we can send him a holiday song. Something like, oh, come all ye Tebows, joyful and redemptious. Come and see the real comeback. No, I'm not going to go anymore.
Wow.
Okay. I tried.
Goosebumps.
I tried, Gabe.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, I tried. I liked the email, though, who did the evangelical thing, though. That was really a good one earlier. That was a good one. He says, Gabe, 34-13, Patriots. And then Josh, 2 years ago, virtually the same players. Neither the Patriots or the Broncos are even remotely similar to the teams they were 2 years ago at this point. The Broncos are an entirely different team with different coaching. Patriots offense is much more potent. This is idiotic. Stop using the word fact when you're describing your stupid contrarian grabs for attention. I think he's speaking to Mr. Scalabino.
Yeah, I think so.
All told, right?
Yeah, well, okay. You all sound alike.
Who are us contrarians? What, Pete, you calling me out? You calling me a contrarian?
No, not at all.
I like a good debate. Sometimes I have been known to take the other side of the fence just for the sake of sharpening my, shall we say, debate skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think that's fine.
I have to convince myself sometimes that I'm right in my argument, though.
I can't do it. I speak from the heart and, hopefully from the head as well. I just, you know, if I believe in something, I go with it. If I don't, I don't. Now, that doesn't mean you can't change your mind in a month.
Petey, that's what we love about you. But that's what we love about you, okay? You wear the heart on the shirt sleeves. That's good stuff.
I just try to be realistic about it. And if you look at this winning streak by the Broncos, which the national media refuses to do, and break down the games and go through specific plays like I did for an hour yesterday, you will find that the only guy who should be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, as I said yesterday, is Prater. And that's it. It may be Marion Barber for giving them another win, and Philip Rivers, and Novak for missing field goals, and Miami's pathetic defense. And the first one that he had, special teams. I mean, the list is endless. And I love it. And even in PFW this week, when you're looking at, it's like Tim Tebow led them to a win against the Bears. He did not lead them to a win against the Bears. He led them to the 41-yard line before a 59-yarder had to be kicked.
Right. Yep.
That's not leading them to victory.
Nope.
At all.
Nope. Nope. You're absolutely right about that. All right. Pete's coming up next. Belo's coming in for fantasy questions as well. Our thanks to Russell Baxter and to Eric Scalabino, even if he is being a little bit of a contrarian today. Hey, Pats and Broncos, going to be dynamite on Sunday. I think we all realize that. The entire football world will be watching, and, you know, we'll have Patriots Monday here on Patriots.com radio. Don't forget, you've got the pregame social. You'll have the postgame show here on Patriots.com on Sunday. And, yep, we'll be right back in the playbook to nitpick and do anything and everything else next Tuesday. Same Pats time, same Pats channel.
Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up near heads and mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up for the rising. Left the house.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2